All right, so we're here today with Bourbon and Brown Town. You guys can introduce yourselves.
My name is Colin Hudson. I am the founder and executive producer of Soapbox Drugs and Organizing and co-host of the podcast Bourbon and Brown Town. You can find it on Google Play and iTunes.
My name is David Moran, and I am the multimedia director for Soapbox Production Organizing, and I am one of your co-hosts for Bourbon and Brown Town as well.
And you guys know who I am. I'm Melody, and I don't have any fancy words behind my name, except I write Brown Girl Talks.
You can make
has a couple degrees.
Should I make them up and be like, the writer, the founder, the CEO, the CFO.
There you go.
Just COO. All the things. The CEO, I don't even know what that means, but I'm that as well.
There you go. But that's true, though. That's really what it is. You're building your own thing. Like, that's how that works.
That's right. I'm all the things, actually. Except for the tech person. That's my brother. You're going to hear from him, probably.
Yo, what up?
So we're here today with these guys, and we're just chilling, and we're not having bourbon today, right?
No bourbon. No, we got clear-ish.
That's okay. You don't need it.
Alcohol this time.
It's unfortunate, but I was like, you know what? I can't do bourbon. I'm Mexican.
This is your podcast. We're guests.
Yeah, we are.
I felt like it would have been nice to do bourbon.
I mean, I'm Mexican. I can do bourbon, but like that's not saying much.
Well, I'm sorry that that's how you are, David.
Yeah,
that's true. No, I'm on the dark side, literally.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I actually wasn't a huge fan of bourbon for a long time.
It's been a slow progression, but it's been.
Yeah, it's really hanging out with him. But tequila is always.
It's a safe bet. So I got these guys on my podcast because I was social media stalking Colin. And I was like, you know what?
As you do. As one does.
Because who doesn't?
He is on Instagram.
Who doesn't? And I was like, you know what? These guys, I need to get these guys like in my living room, specifically to my kitchen table. So here we are. So you guys have a great podcast.
I really appreciate that.
Thanks.
It's so easy to listen to. Uh-huh. And you guys are always talking about resistance. And I feel like everyone has a different definition of what resistance is. So, like, some people are like, oh, it's, you know, calling your senators or your congressmen every single day. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, it's getting out there and protesting every single day. But I just feel like everyone has a different definition. My brother, he likes to troll people on social media. That's what he does. Just, like, regularly, he's in Facebook jail. Are you still in Facebook jail?
I just got out on Tuesday at, like, 10 a.m.
Hashtag free Eddie.
It was tough with all the news that broke, especially.
You're like, oh, my thumbs.
I couldn't do anything. Oh, it was tragic.
He did some hard time, but he's here with us now, guys, and I'm just really happy about it. So tell me a little bit, what do you guys think? What's your definition of resistance? Who wants to start?
I think we can go individually. Or do you want to answer as like one of
No, I think you should answer as a couple.
As a couple. sentences. We have mine, which is weird. Apart from our personal lives. I think it's very nuanced, just in general. Yeah. Right. But I think it's kind of this buzzword now, because of Trump, of course. One of the things I've kind of uncovered working activist fears over the past, you know, several years, seeing the difference before and after Trump, it's like there's a sense of an activist chic, as I like to call. This is cool to be an activist now. So I think resist has been something that's kind of been co-opted by, not, I want to say the mainstream, but as far as people like, oh, like, I'm anti-Trump, and like, Trump did this, it's terrible. Which is very much true, right? We don't want to steer clear of this. Mm-hmm. We want to look at the bigger societal implications and the bigger frameworks that make a Trump possible in the first place, and see how those things have existed pre-Trump, right? Like, white supremacy isn't like a new thing that we want to be against. It's existed for forever, so to speak.
But now we want to be against it.
Right. And
Or do we?
I mean, I don't know. This is Brown Girl Talk, right?
Am I in the right house?
Yeah.
So I think it's nuanced. I think there's lots of ways to do it. I think it does depend on you. But I think there's ways where it's turned in a way where it's fashionable, which I think that's when it kind of gets dangerous. It gets kind of cosmetic and not getting at the root issues of things.
Yeah.
So that, I guess, like, that's why we're able to work on, like, Soapbox, I feel, so well, we have been over the last year, is, like, a lot of the rhetoric I've kind of picked up from him, but I've kind of always had this notion of, like, the way things are growing up in a certain community and getting out of that, and then just exposing myself to different things. Coming from an immigrant family, you're always, like, you're looking for the best, right? You're looking for, like, what is it that's going to put you on top, and how does that work? And so kind of like me going to look for that ended up kind of becoming a realization of like, what exactly is on top? And like, there's actually a reason. There's a system behind what's been producing this whole thing that to my parents is like, there's a glorification of America, you know, the American dream. And so like that being instilled kind of, you know, as I just grew up, the transition for myself, but it resistance, like, it has been, and that's the worry that we fall into, is it's like how it's coined. I think there's plenty of us now, and we have enough ammo, and that's where we always go back to Trump. It's like to be angry at something and be like, you have this system that is supposed to be supporting you and your beliefs and your criteria, but yet you have somebody on the other end slowly destroying all these things. It's like, it's not just education is being attacked. It's not just, you know, LGBTQ rights attacked. It's not just, you know, black rights. It's like all these people. And so it's like, I really think that everyone is able to resist, I think, now. And it's really more like understanding, like, why you should be resisting and, like, how you can be resisting. Because some people, you know, some people are there to be on the streets. They have that schedule, maybe, you know. But what if you work 9 to 5? You know, like, maybe you don't want to call your senator, as you were saying. Like, mm-hmm. like, how else can I resist? How else can I be a part of that? But
so what are you guys doing?
All the things.
All the things. Every day. He wakes up at 4.
What'd you say?
4 o'clock in the morning?
He wakes up.
Yeah, well, his fitness class.
Sometimes
5. Sometimes 5, and I get up right
to go. Oh, he goes to 1, 2.
Okay, that is not, that's a nap.
He takes power naps all day. He's solid. That's why I fuck with him. Let's go.
He's on the truth. It's true.
I can't even shout.
I'm tired. I'm tired all the time. I don't know. I think it's all part of it, right? So, like, I started Soapbox, which, for all you don't know, is a film production social activism entity that kind of coalesces multimedia curation around a certain topic, right? Mm-hmm. So we have like a podcast, an editorial, either video or maybe larger film, connected or loosely connected to like a same topic of that we need to have critical analysis about. So I started Soapbox out of undergrad in 2013, and over the years it's kind of gotten more robust and kind of brought. We have a small team now, and it's going pretty well. You know, we're all broke. It's not broke. We're figuring the money part out. That's all to say is, like, that's where the time, energy, and my, like, passion has gone. That's also, like, very much, like, work for me. And so I think my ways of resisting is I know, like, some hardened activist organizers have been doing this for years. And it's like, I think that's great. And I think I have some of those skills, and I've worked in that capacity in some ways. But I know that can be my only thing. I know I couldn't do that, but I love film, I love entertainment, I love entertainment that challenges you and entertains at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think that's where my skills lie more. So my question for myself every day is, how do I utilize those skills in a way that is calling out systems of oppression? And that's very intentional. Sometimes those reflect themselves in policy, sometimes they don't. Right. Sometimes they manifest themselves in social situations. So how do we look at all these things? Side of that, for funds, for the most part, is I teach fitness classes sometimes. So I'll do that, like, every morning. I'll teach in the morning, typically, work out afterwards, and go home and do, like, Soapbox stuff, which I like. And I like working out. I like teaching fitness. I think I'm good at it. I'm decent at it. But with that, I think it's the weird part as far as resisting, especially being a person of color or a marginalized person, like, just being yourself. It's sad to say that's almost, like, in and of itself, its own form of resisting, which is, like, kind of weird. So with that, I have an Instagram account. I was a long holdout for my social media. I think I got a Twitter 2013. I got a Instagram almost like a year ago. It was December of 2016, so almost a year ago. That's his own situation. But with
how it works out, guys, just so you know.
With the Instagram account,
he does like, very good. He says he's only been on it for a year. It seems like he's been on it forever.
So with my Instagram account, which is strictly just about fitness, it's at Colin Fit on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You should follow me. I'll do cross postings from Soapbox, some political things, some mm-hmm. entertainment things, but also just like screenshot and post like radical shit when I want to. So I'll call out Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago. I'll call out by name white supremacy, Trump, Roy Moore, just like people and just policies and just frameworks that are oppressive and problematic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just hashtag random things, Black Gains Matters thing I hashtag sometimes. So I'm very like very much myself in that sphere as well, even though it's like not the radical sphere. I think part of like resisting, part of just like being against oppressive structures is doing it all the time. Obviously, there's times where that affects, you know, your money, your kid's life, your life. And there's times where, like, the tricky situations where you have to, like, not be yourself for literally for survival. Mm-hmm. Instagram's unfortunately not one of those things, so I can do that. And I know some friends who are in that community, fitness community, who have similar beliefs of mine and, like, wouldn't really do that. I don't see why not, is that I think it is necessary. I feel like you should be empowered. You should be able to be yourself all the time, especially when it's calling out things that are structurally and very overtly violent.
Yeah.
Which I think capitalism, white supremacy, and patriarchy and all those things are.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
So we were talking, you were just talking about fitness. Yeah. And I used to be a fitness instructor back in my head. But one of the things I always took issue with is like using non-censored music in sure. fitness classes.
Sure.
And so just in particular, you know, the gyms that I go to.
Yeah.
I feel like every instructor has no qualm with using like a non-censored, you know, version sure. of the song. And you can get the censored version, sure. right? But the one of the things that bothers me is like, if you're an instructor and you're going to use a non-censored version of a song, particularly the N-word, and you're a white instructor, you got to be a little bit of an activist. You know, like that's just my opinion. Like if you're going to go out there and you're going to be like using these songs, it just bothers me so much. But how okay, do you feel
so
about that?
Just so I'm clear, so you think, so if you're a white fitness instructor,
yes,
in order to get a pass of using,
I don't think you ever get a pass.
Okay, no, I'm not saying okay. okay in order, just, like for, like, let me ask you to get out there and then yeah, pick yeah, holes yeah, yeah, in yeah. it. So as a white fitness instructor, in order to justifiably use a song with yeah, the N word yeah. in it, you need to like on the other side like be in the streets fighting for something, or be fighting for something in some capacity, be an activist in some capacity.
All right, so. I don't think you get a pass, but I just feel like if you're using it, like you have to say something. If like something's happening, you can't be silent. So like you can't be like, oh, we're not going to talk about politics in this class. So like I have a girlfriend who works at a yoga studio. And one of the things that they told her after the Trump presidency, whatever, after the inauguration was yeah. don't get political.
Yeah.
She's a black girl. And she yeah. was like, the fuck you mean don't get political?
Yeah.
Like, I have to be political. I am who I am. I'm a fucking black woman sure. in this country.
Sure.
And one of the things that bothers me so much is like I go into these classes and I'm like, you're just dead silent on all these issues on social media, in yeah. your public persona.
Yeah.
So like it bothers me. I don't know how you feel about it or how you guys feel about it. Because you're well, in the I've, fitness world full time. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have a couple things with that. I think like part of it's like this whole idea of like what's political and what's not political is... It's bullshit, right? Everything's politicized, everything's socialized. Like, yeah. every, like, white, cis, straight men are political just by their being. Like, everyone,
yeah.
everyone's impact and everyone is involved in politics, everything is socialized. Like, it just is across the board. Obviously, right. there's people on the power pressure model, people who are oppressed more than others. Everything is political.
Right.
During Obama, things were political.
Yeah.
I think our last podcast, I was getting pretty heated. And I was like, of course, fuck Trump, but like, fuck Obama, fuck Clinton, fuck, you know, like, anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. But no, it's like everything is political. Obviously, things are more in your face than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's interesting. And I think I've almost been kind of waiting for the day where supervisor in a fitness capacity kind of says something to me.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like I will not relent. But then I don't right. go out of my way to like say or make comments. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm not reserving, like holding myself back either.
Yeah.
Because in a certain capacity, in teaching fitness class, I don't like... feel like saying that either, so like right. I wouldn't. However, there was a time where it was the week of the inauguration. Mm-hmm. So Soapbox went to DC week of the inauguration to not only protest but kind of film the protest as well, kind of make a
micro
doc about it. Hashtag Soapbox in Trump land.
Yeah.
But so that Monday, coincidentally enough, was like Martin Luther King Day. So I made themed stations around Martin Luther King. So I had like militarism, classism, race, and all these isms and like quotes mm-hmm. he had about those. So they're all like, you know, denouncing militarism, capitalism, and racism right. in ways that he did. Because with Martin Luther King, you know, he's co-opted every year to be this like, you know, right. champion of like pacifist. Civil rights, yeah. pacifist, which yeah. he really wasn't, right? right? So that was that. And so all the stations were like themed like that way, and obviously I had workouts with them. So we were like, oh, that's cool. So that Thursday, I had the same isms. I think I took out militarism and added sexism. And themed them with Donald Trump quotes and or tweets. Probably tweets. Same isms.
Because you got a lot.
Different dude.
Pick one.
You got a lot of things different, to deal different workouts. With there, yeah.
So I took pictures of all those and stuff, put it on social media. And then I think later that day, that weekend, I put it on social media and I added the hashtag fitness against fascism. Mm. Which is a running series, so to speak.
Hashtag.
So later on, I think it was when we were in DC, we were having lunch after all the protest stuff. Friday.
The
so,
inauguration.
The inauguration. Not the restaurant. Yeah, in the restaurant, yeah. sitting down eating. Walked around all day, filming stuff, talking to people, just fighting fascism all day. I was tired. I had two meals. I had two entrees.
Because the burgers were so tiny.
They were tiny.
Dude's like, can I have another one? And boy's like, what? He's like,
Food is small. Can I have
like another meal of this? And he's like,
and he was like, oh, okay, I'm hungry. But he did fight the fascism. No, I was.
He had a pin. He had a pin.
He was a homie, but he just didn't. He underestimated.
It was so crazy because when we were sitting down, not to like end up like when we sat down that day, what the craziest point about it was is like we're watching CNN and like. We're hearing the shit of like motherfuckers threw, you know, dumpsters into a Starbucks or some shit.
Yeah, Antifa.
Antifa or whatever. And we're like, where the fuck was that? Yeah. Like, we're over here like interviewing people and talking like, you know, Trump voters as well as like the resistance that was there, which is really massive. The theme behind Soapbox being in Trumpland is like trying to find like how many people were there resisting. And it was great. And then the day after you really was more of a turnover. But like even there that day, it's like, we're sitting there, boy comes through, he asks for another meal, and on the TV, you're watching all this crazy shit, and I'm like, we didn't even see that, but that's the only thing that people are being exposed to.
Yeah.
We were there, we saw a whole different side of it, and like that's what
we were trying to find that.
We were looking for it, like, where the fuck y'all at, and then stopping them, and like, this is not how it works, like, I'm so sorry, that was just...
No, you're fine. Even with this quick, like, sidebar, with Antifa, like, they're violent, they're this... Mm-hmm. They're smashing Starbucks windows.
Yeah.
Like, not that I'm for that necessarily,
smashing
but it's like...
property, because
they're smashing property, right? But we care about property, but black lives and trans lives don't matter.
You shoot them up.
So it's like...
That's why we have insurance, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Yeah, so I get an email from, you know, supervisor saying that, hey, like, you can bring politics in the class... And so I had a very detailed email back saying that, like, I understood what she was saying. But additionally, everything quote and put up there was, our president-elect had said, I will find the research or data if you need it to send it to you let you know. I think it was mainly the hashtag that I posted with it. And so I think I posted the place I was teaching at as well. So I was like, I'll remove the place so it's not associated. That's fine. But like, I'm not deleting the post.
Right.
It's my account. It's not ColinFit_place. It's just ColinFit, so I can say what I want. And she's great, and she's understood. She very much had to do it, and I talked to her afterwards, and she was very much like, I have to email you to say this, and I'm like, you can fire me, but that was
fun.
It was a cool class. It was a good workout. You're going to work out and fight white supremacy. You are winning in my book.
Yeah. that's really where it's at.
But it's a thing. Yeah. I saw a post. I think someone reposted this a while ago from a black personal trainer. She was trying to make a blog about like fitness and like kind of resisting what that means. And she mentioned people saying like, oh, but like I have conservative clients. Oh, I have this. I have that. And she was like, it's about like living and dying when we get to the root of it. And it's like, why do I need to like... you know, hold that back from talking about in meaningful ways with people I care about, whether they agree with me or not. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's nuanced and it's messy, but I that's kind of part of how I've kind of been in this career. I'm talking about film and stuff as well. It's just like, I'm freelance with film and stuff like that. And like, obviously work through Soapbox at this point and fitness. So it's kind of like here and there and working for myself, which is nice. There's cons to it, of course. But part of that pro is I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
At the same time, like if I wanted to be in 9-to-5, like a traditional corporate American environment, I don't know why I would. But if I did, but still have my same sentiments, like how would I wrestle with that?
Right.
Yeah. And how long would I be in that job?
Right.
If I'm, you know, posing quote-unquote radical stuff.
Yeah.
And I even have a problem saying radical stuff because it's like, saying like this tax policy even like structurally kills people, like that's not right. That's just like these are the numbers.
No, it's just
and,
true.
Like,
actually,
this is just true.
Yeah.
Right. So even that's like that's a book word I like don't even like think to myself, but like you know what it means, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So I don't know what your original question was, but it's messy. It's nuanced.
It's
but I think there's ways to do it, and like I think someone in that world who has the same like sentiments that we kind of do, will have ways to navigate that better. At least a way to articulate that better. But at the same time, I feel like you're losing something when you have to do that. So it's tough. But I think now more than ever, since we have like a face administration to it, it's easier, which is good because people are rallying behind it, right? People who were not radicalized prior to the election are radicalized now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the question for activists, for folks who are allies, whatever, is like, how do you receive those people who are angry about Trump? And say, cool, this is awesome. Like, sit down at the table. The snack's over there. We know you're mad, but you're going to need to, like, we've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
We're glad you're here, but you need to, like, you know, learn this has been happening for a while. And, like, we need to use your energy, use your privilege in order to fight it. And we need to implicate you in the system as well.
Yeah. I think it's good to hear that I'm not going to take this down. Like, I'll take your name off of it.
Sure.
And, like, your manager or whatever was like, okay, cool. Like, I get it. I just had to kind of do this as a formality. I feel like that's even a, you know, like a good step.
Yeah,
I think so. It's not great, but it's, like, good enough, you know? It's like, what else are you going to ask for?
And they're super small things. I remember, I think it was, like, 2 years ago. There's this move called Man Makers. We have like two dumbbells. You come down to push up.
We call them
row,
Man Makers, actually.
Row, yeah. Hop in, whatever. It's a fitness move. But when I do them in class, I always call them just Person Makers. But I always make the point of calling them Person Makers and saying, I don't use Man Makers because it's male normative. And they move on with the demonstration or whatever, or the demo, whatever, before class. And so it's like,
teaching fools even while he's doing it.
That's, and they don't even know.
Damn, they do know. They go home, they're like, wait, we made Person Makers. Oh, what workouts you do, baby, today? Oh, man, you know, we did this. And some Person Makers. Person Makers.
Oh, Man Makers. Oh. No, motherfucker. I
said, Person Makers. Damn.
But that's the thing I think we get into. We talk about like rhetoric and things like that. Because especially in the campaign now, it's like, oh, like he said this, which is fallacious. But like, it doesn't matter because look at the policy. It's like, well, first of all, the policy's fucked up too. But second of all, it's like our rhetoric, what we use, how we talk about things, it informs and reflects how we think about things.
For sure.
And that A, makes policy, and B, that adds to the culture and makes it okay.
Yeah.
Right? So if we're comfortable, you know, making everything like a male thing, we marginalize women in our rhetoric, we marginalize women in our thinking, and our policy, and in how we act in the world, which is violent and oppressive and kills people.
Yeah. Well, and I like that you kind of like infiltrated into the fitness world, because I mean, not to stereotype, but I think that a lot of people sort of censor their Instagram feeds, their social media feeds, and so if you're following a fitness account, you might not be looking for that political view, but I think it's good that you actually sort of just pop it in here and there, because a lot of people might not show themselves that. They might not open themselves up to that view, so it kind of just throws in there, and I think that's good to sort of like pop it in, or even in class, like you said, like just sort of like infiltrating that resistance into other aspects of life, I think is important because not a lot of people are seeing that everywhere. So they get it in a different view. So I like that.
No, absolutely. I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary as part of me. And like, it's sad. It has to be like putting it in there. Cause it's like, this is like, you know, the world. And again, it's with like everything's political, everything's socialized.
Yeah.
I think on my Instagram story, as we speak, I saw on Twitter, I screenshotted it. It was something about like, kind of this whole idea of like, oh, I'm not political, and it's like, oh, it's because like you're privileged enough not to have to think about or get involved in these things, because it doesn't affect you in a way, in a certain way. And I think that's part of it. People are like, oh, I'm looking for political things. It's like, well, like you live in a political world, but if you can afford to like sideswipe them, then like it doesn't affect you enough. Which is like, okay, you're privileged, cool. And it's like that's fine, but use that for the people who aren't, the people who are getting killed or slowly dying because they don't have healthcare.
Yeah,
or,
so you can't afford to go to the doctor.
But if they're not seeing that, Lo, is like it's really getting to like how do we make a certain group of people realize that these things have always been problems?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just before we started, we were talking about everyone coming out and all these scandals coming out. Just like, are men coming to the surprise of like, damn, that happens to you? Like, nah, motherfuckers ain't like that. Like, no, motherfuckers have been like that for a minute, and just like it just happens that like, oh, well, why'd they take 35 years to say something? It's like, motherfucker,
because
like
people like you,
exactly. And so it's like it's very much sort of like this, you know, with more people speaking, it's kind of like that's really where you're battling. Like I remember, like so I've worked in restaurants predominantly, it's like since I've started working, just because like you know as a brown kid, that's very simple for me to get into. It's like it's cake, and it's not hard to do. So
what, do they think that you just know how to serve? I don't understand.
No, not just serving. No, so I've been doing the I started busboying and like you know doing shit like that. I did catering when I was 15,
okay.
And then 16, and then like I worked like what's it called, Morton Arboretum. So I did like white glove events and shit. So I learned how to like properly.
I gotta be a white glove.
Get out.
You know, I learned how to properly like do that sort of shit. But I really did it because like one of my best friends was doing it, and his brother got me a job in. Like at the peak of my
bus. You guys, there's
career.
So many air quotes here. I wish you could see it.
It is. Right. No, but it's just like
apology.
Not necessarily apology. That's funny. No, it's just like it was something for me to be able to get quick into. But like I'm trying to remember why I said that. Because I started thinking about I don't have a good train of thought. I lose it really quick.
Oh, you were talking about. Working at the when you started working in restaurants, it was easy for you to get a job, and
then I cut you off.
That had to do with
it was in tandem to what I was saying, kind of like a segue.
Yeah, had some like
fitness, all that stuff.
Fitness, people, exposure.
Yeah, people. Yes.
Oh, exposure. Both things. Those that aren't
exposed to these things. Both are not exposed
to. Who don't ever see this? Because you like, having worked in that sphere, I've been exposed to human beings who are a certain type of demographic, but, like, beyond that, it is the ideology that exists. Like, we, like, and that's something that I've been realizing, like, when I started sort of, like, in my term of, like, resisting, quote-unquote, I said the air quotes there. Just so when I started kind of doing this, like, growing up, you kind of label these things as, like, okay, like, I succeeded. I graduated high school. It's like, oh, I graduated college. Look, I got a car. Like, you know, so you have these expectations for yourself. But for me, there was always more. There was always, like, what else can you be doing? How else can you be helping someone? Yada, 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 yada. And so in mine is, like, in growing in the industry that was, like, the hospitality service industry, it's like, and being exposed to all these people who wouldn't take the light of day to understand something as a problem. Like, I'm sure if we had that same conversation, you know, 7 years ago, and like, oh, they're trying to remove DACA. I remember when I started working that, like, the DACA was, like, being presented, and everyone was like, fuck yeah. Like, everyone who I knew was like, I actually have friends who I know who were, like, who were able to receive that, the Dreamers, mm-hmm. and, like, were able to go to school. Like, one of my boys went to Robert Morris, like, 3 years, got that shit out, because he went
completely
in.
Changes your life,
dude. And yeah. But this is the thing, like, he didn't want 4 years. He took night classes in order to get 3 years. Ooh. And get the fuck out,
push it out. Yeah.
Oh, and so it's like, I saw that, but I feel that, like, these are the same people who, you know, wouldn't take the light of day. And so at that, when that was happening, they're probably like, oh, blah blah blah, people want free shit, yada yada, woo woo, like that. I'm just assuming, and so this form, I could be wrong, however, from what I felt and from what I was able to experience, these are people who, like, just don't give a fuck because they got other things to worry about. There is a group of people who don't see it. You right. feel what I'm saying? So I feel that what I've been able to do kind of growing up is one, breaking expectations with the people in my community. You know, I come from a very specific demographic, and so it's like, so my freshman year class was 1,100. 800 graduated or some shit like that. So it's like, it doesn't really sound like crazy, but it's like, it's a small number. And I could have those numbers wrong, but I do know that it's something like, yeah. It was something drastic like that, where it was like, wait, we came in as 1,100 because I remember, because we were the largest freshman class, so large and so bad because there was a lot of gangs and shit, that the next year of my sophomore year, we had dress codes installed throughout the school. So it's like, we were so many and such a thing that we had to have that implemented. And then to know that, like, it was 900 or so kids or 800 kids who graduated, it's like, wait, where'd 300 kids go?
Yeah, where did the rest go?
So it's like, you're kind of seeing that, and it's like, and it's, I went in Berwyn, which is one of the first major suburbs coming out of Chicago. So, like, how is this, like, looking at your location and all this shit, it's like, how is this happening? And so it's like, going to college, kind of realizing all these things. What I've been able to do with Soapbox is really find a voice or find mm-hmm. an outlet or find somewhere where I felt that I had the opportunity to say something that can have an impact. Yeah. And I think that's my form of resisting, because it's like, coming onto Soapbox and, like, really having the opportunity and the time to kind of just, like push shit out. It's like, and what we're trying to do is push content out that isn't biased. But, I mean, yeah, sure, we're going to have a bias on it, but it's like, we're really looking at facts. Like, we're trying to understand every topic that comes to the table. It's like, you want to talk about opioid epidemic, which is great, fucking dope, I'm glad you are, but let's really understand, like, why is it that now that it's affecting all these white communities, why is it that it's all of a sudden a crisis versus, like, when back in the 80s somebody dropped coke from the air and it's like all these other people become addicted and it's like, oh, they're horrible people, mm-hmm. and this and that, oh, they're criminals,
yeah,
you know, films. And so it's like, it's kind of being able to examine all that. And in reality, a lot of people don't know. And that's kind of the background where I come at. It's like, a lot of people don't know because they're not exposed to it. So it's like, being able to build on content, being able to curate information, and being able to, like, put it in a way where it's digestible to, and I hate using the term, but to your basic consumer. It's like, mm-hmm. that's really where it's at. And, like, that's why America has succeeded in its capitalist system for as long as it have.
Right.
I mean, sure, you can, like, gauge everything else, but it's like, there's a reason why it has succeeded. There's a reason why there are attributes in my own personal, like, political thing that are good and I don't think should suffer. Soapbox has given me that outlet in where I'm able to really use myself as an example to be like, all right, David, like, and we've had these sort of things on our podcast, Bourbon and Brown Town at Soapbox PO.
plug it always.
No, but it's like,
Don't worry, we're gonna cut that out.
It's like, oh, fuck. No, but it's really like, you know, we're in the middle of having a conversation and he cuts me off and he's like, you just said something that was sexist or like, or things like that. And it's like really like being able to check ourselves on a daily basis because like we ain't fucking perfect. Like, that's why I can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm a feminist, because like realistically, I am aware of all the faults that I am capable of and or have been doing for a while of time, because like I come, as you know, Brown Girl Talk.
I only want to be referred to as that from now on.
I got you. But no, just like being able to sort of like, you come from a specific background. Like my dad was like pretty sexist. Me and my mom actually had a conversation about how sexist he was, like literally last week. And like she was like, I never realized. That's what the fuck you mean? I never realized. Like how?
For like one to Trump.
I'm trying to like to talk to her about like Trump, and she's like, I understand. He just sounds like blah blah blah. I'm like, I get it, but like there's more layers to it. So it's like,
yeah.
I'm able to use my own relationship with like my family and my friends as sort of a gauge to being like, what is it that I'm doing, and like where can I do more? And like Soapbox has offered me the opportunity to find that space for myself. And so the editorial, the podcast, all the things that have kind of been built on that are simply just for me an opportunity to, one, either for myself and or like push other people. And that's what we're really about, like, you know, this community building thing. Like our most recent project, which is Shy DNA, I don't know when it's coming out, but it may have it's probably still going. You know, we're looking to get a lot of people from the drill community, a lot of people from the activist community, and really involved in what Soapbox is and stands for. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, we have Charles Preston, who is an activist, who we're lucky enough to have in one of our podcasts that should be coming out soon. If not, it's already out. And he's like very interested in writing for our editorial, and he's also been on some of the documentation that we already have about the Shy DNA. So it's multifaceted, and so we're grabbing them from all these avenues and really incorporating them into what is Soapbox. And the concept of that is Soapbox is like, we're from Chicago, like we like that's where this thing was built, and so we're trying to settle here, and we're trying to, you know, find these folks to really like, it's not just me and Colin, you know, speaking the Soapbox mentality. It's really like there's all these people who have been doing it and have been expressing their resistance in all these multiple avenues. It's like finding them, helping them, give that little creative push if they need it. You know, sometimes they don't.
Or helping us.
Yeah, or it's helping us.
Right.
Yeah,
I think it's symbiotic. Yeah,
very much symbiotic.
No. Yeah, and with Shy DNA stands for Chicago Drill and Activism.
I was going to say, tell me about Shy DNA.
Yeah, Shy DNA stands for Chicago Drill and Activism. As far as my graduate research project at DePaul in sociology, I'm pretty much looking at drill rap, which is a type of gangster rap originating in Chicago.
Oh my God, I've never heard of it.
And I can't be sarcastic with that.
She's being sarcastic. I saw air quotes.
So I was looking at drill rap. I was looking at what I am coining the activist resurgence. Okay. Resurgence of activism since 2010 or so around Black Lives Matter, kind of with Mike Brown. Then has now was, you know, Brown with lots of issues. And people are very, you know, angry about a lot of things, which is great. Looking at those two things, drill rap activism in Chicago recently with young people specifically. And seeing what's similar about the two and how they both come from inequality in history of Chicago. So that's what Shy DNA is. We're now producing a feature-length documentary. With that comes micro-docs for release every month, as well as podcasts, editorial points, whatever. So
shit, I had no idea. So
it's a lot of stuff. I won't monopolize the whole time with Shy DNA.
With plugging, really?
Nice password.
Right. Yeah, right.
We all saw his password. It's not hard. Just so everyone knows.
They gave it to you to use. I haven't changed it since June.
Oh, because, like...
Anyway, that is all to say. Shy DNA, I like to... I've been using... saying this a lot lately. It's a community-integrating, community-amplifying project.
Okay.
And with that, that's kind of what the model is for Soapbox now in general, as far as we want to amplify the work that's kind of being done. We're not really doing anything new as far as the actual, like, activism that's happening.
Yeah.
So we want to amplify what's happening and give the people who have the voices, give them a bigger platform,
mm-hmm.
And maybe a different platform if they weren't in documentaries or weren't, you know, involved in film previously.
Right.
And integrated, right? So, like I said, some of the guests in the podcast are, like, writing, you know, with us, so to speak, and very much, like, part of the conversation with us. We're not monopolizing a thing.
Yeah.
What I kind of learned in my, like, brief stint in academia, my two-year master's program was,
my
like,
brief stint.
A lot of like, stuff you read or talk about because you panels and stuff, you go to events, they're like, oh, you need to be in the community and talk to the people who are there. I was like, why aren't they fucking here? You're talking about it right now, but they're not here.
Yeah.
And I think people are... and I can remember being more aware of that now, as far as, like, you know, traditionally you go into, you know, typically marginalized communities to study them, you get information and you leave. And it's like, yeah. There's a problem with that. So it's like, how do you, you know, use the tools of academia? It's not like it's, like, worthless, obviously.
Yeah.
There's problems with it. It's not that it's worthless. How do you use those tools, do that research that needs to be done, but also use it to not only even give back, but always be building with the community. It should be, mm-hmm. like, a constant symbiotic thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we're trying to build Soulbox to be like a similar thing, but with entertainment and with research down the line, you get kind of all that stuff situated.
Yeah.
But pretty much, like, it's how do you become integrated in the community? How do you integrate in, you know, the folks you're trying to challenge and help, and how they help you, and how you view this as a very, like, communal yeah. thing across the board. And so we're still kind of figuring out. I think we're making strides in the right direction. Yeah. And just being honest with yourself, like you mentioned, like me calling on the podcast or yeah. in real life, just like. How do we be honest with each other?
Calling him out. I didn't want or
vice versa. Yeah. How do we be, like, honest with each other and vulnerable?
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the times, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm like a woman of color, so I'm like, you know, pretty low on the totem pole. And so I'm like, oh no, I have no mistakes. I have yeah. no, like, whatever. And then I think something and I'm like, damn, that was pretty shitty. Why
yeah. did
I
just think that? And it's not even like
but you
yeah.
got to call yourself out.
You
played
the Oppression Olympics, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I got something else.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, no, it's like, oh, like, yeah, it's like, I can say something similar, even though, like, yeah, I've been middle class most of my life. Like, I've been
yeah,
okay, except
exactly.
for, like, being black and the power oppression model, right?
Exactly.
So it's like,
being black.
Oh, like, white folks are, like, killing us in the streets, woo-woo, which is, like, all important, but it's like, oh, but you can do this misogynistic thing, or you can, like, say something that adds to rape culture, you can, you know, there's
right.
always things, and, like, also, a lot of it's internalized, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to black folks who are like, oh, why are they shutting down Michigan Avenue? It's not gonna, like, you know, make this, you know, Dante Servin who killed Rukia Boy, it's not gonna make, like, lock him up, it's not gonna take away his pension. Like, there's no point in, like, now allowing people to shop for their Christmas gifts on
yeah.
Thanksgiving. It was like, no, it's tied to capitalism. It's tied to, like, people are seeing that. People are being, you know, people who are have privilege or don't think about these things on a daily basis, they're being implicated in really real, really, really real ways.
Yeah.
To being put right in their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
really where it's at. It's, like, being able to bring about content, and, like, that's, like, kind of a very much piggybacking it off of him. Is like, Soapbox is trying to curate this content and being able to try to put it in your face.
Yeah.
It's like, and put you in a place that you're not used to. And, like, realistically, like, people who go out to shop on, like, a Black Friday, like, what type of mentality do they have? What, like, you know, like, I have never been shopping for a Black Friday. Have you?
No.
So, like, you have to have a certain type of mentality. So if you go out and then you see fucking 20 black and brown kids blocking the fucking street.
Let's bring a white
person. Yeah,
hashtag ally.
Hashtag ally. I like that. But, like, realistically, you're going to be like, what the fuck is happening?
Sure.
And then you got to go home and you're going to see the news, like, oh, these kids? What? And that kind of branches off. And, like,
right.
that's really sad. And it's like,
yeah.
We can expect people on the other side if we like to put the other side. And then that's, I'm not the fan.
Even
of,
that.
It's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. I'm not the fan of othering. Because, like, to me, it's like, especially when we talk about, like, specific positives, like, oh, Democrat versus Republican or left versus right. Yeah, we're like, fuck
like,
that noise. That's
yeah.
all a bunch of those, like, no, it's literally like
yeah.
smoke and mirrors, because there's another thing at play, and it's like what we oftentimes talk about. But it's like you have this motherfucker walking down the street, see these motherfuckers walk blocking the street. You go home and you turn on Fox News. You're like, oh well, blah 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 blah. This is their exposure of
yeah.
like. These people who are blocking your streets and blah, 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 blah. When in reality, maybe that was their intent. Maybe their intent was like, fuck everybody. We want to block traffic. Maybe that was their intent. Or maybe their intent was another thing, but we never get to hear that.
Right.
Or at least they never get to see that. And so that's how they grow and develop. And then, like, there's protests in the streets. Oh, they're going to be blocking traffic. And then that's where your brain goes to. And you don't think about, like,
why are they protesting?
Or, like, Why do they gotta shut down a fucking street? Like, you want to protest, there's multiple ways to protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta block a fucking expressway? Okay, why would these people decide to block an expressway? That's not a question that they ask themselves.
Right.
Why? Because all they know about people blocking expressways is they're just fucking little hoodlums doing nothing better on Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because they're broke ass, can't buy shit either. Whatever you want to give to that. That's what I would probably say.
You know, my brother. I feel like you guys are going real easy. You guys are going real easy on like the Fox News audience. Like for
that's
me,
easy. Like that's for like, me, it's like
you're watching Fox News and you're like seeing all these black and brown kids blocking the street. It's like watch fucking better news. You know, like do yourself a service. Like what are you doing?
But it's not you can't. So it goes back to this, like you cannot expect people, especially right. who are in a comfortable position. You might know this, like as a Mexican, like with your parents, maybe more, a little bit more so. And kind of like that's why I've always kind of used my parents as like that gauge. It's like how much do they know? How much do they want to learn?
Yeah.
And how much do they not give a fuck about? Like they don't give, like with the Shy DNA project, like they were they kind of were getting it. They didn't really know why until one day like they had me over at the house. Well, I'm like I gotta do a little bit of work. Sat down, my dad kind of came into the office. He's like, what are you doing?
Over your shoulder.
And I'm like, this is a video, look, listen to it, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh. He's like, and you've met them? I'm like, yeah, like, you know, the first kid, like, Lil G, like, yeah, no, we hung out, like, we got tacos and shit. He didn't really eat, but, like, it was, he's like, oh, what are you doing with him? he himself, so I very much used him as a gauge. And I was like, well, this is what we're doing with the project. Like, this is where it comes from. This Collins, 60-page paper, which you will eventually find on the editorial at some point. It's like there's all this knowledge that goes behind this concept. It's like what we're simply trying to do is we're trying to make it to a point where it's like any motherfucker scrolling anything, because at this point, a good focus of the way people process or digest information is through social media.
Mm-hmm.
So like Facebook has been doing it the longest, I probably would argue, unless you want to count MySpace in.
Been there. Friendster?
Oh, Friendster.
Oh,
minute. You're aging yourself, buddy.
I've heard of that.
But like, so like, we as Soapbox, we're looking at like, oh, how are we going to be able to impact anyone, or like, what is the closest way we can make an impact? And it's through social media. So it's very much looking like there's a reason why if you want to think this, what is it, theory. That Russia was able to help Trump win the presidential election.
Facts.
whoa. We don't want to, you know.
No, there's. There's
okay. That he was able to. Russia was able to use Facebook ads ways in which. So then you're thinking about, like, damn, Facebook, you fucked up. You're promoting bullshit ass things out here. Just because they're. Because also, you look into the sponsorship of, like, the way Facebook helps ads, it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, like literally, you got $100, your bullshit can be expounded to the world because you have $100.
Sure.
It's like, we're over here like, okay, in our post, can we boost our post for $3, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, like if has $5,000, drops a shit, it automatically becomes exposed. So there is, that's why I say it's a theory.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Because there is no. I apologize for jumping on.
No, you're good. But you're right. It's like, you need to question everything, hands down. But it's like we're seeing social media being attacked for truthfulness, I guess. It's like, can you trust that your friend is reposting something that is actually
true?
Like, yeah. Or like, where the fuck are the stats? Like, literally, just before I got here, I was scrolling through Facebook, and someone who I knew was arguing with an article being like, where are your stats from this? Like, you're making blah, blah, blah look bad. Blah, blah, blah. Like, where's it at? And then someone else was able to comment something, and then they ended up realizing that it was just a robot that was like automating things into this comment section. So wow. Like, I was like, what the fuck? So there's bots who just like post dumb shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so like, and that just happened like before I got here. So like in my brain, I'm just like, this shit fucking happens the fuck? So it's like being able to one, control that sphere and like being able to dominate. And then once that gets to you, to be able to have some sort of truth, to have some sort of fact, to have some sort of like, I hate using it, but like you're looking at something from like a woke point of view. Like you're looking at something, and you're like, okay, the tax plan. Why is it a fucking problem? Oh well, you know, it's
gonna help our
corporations, and we're gonna trickle down, and we're all over again. That's what some motherfuckers say. Mm-hmm. Some motherfuckers, you can't really even understand them because they're just like, well, this and this. So like, where do we find that middle ground? Where do we find the point where like, this is why the tax plan sucks, because it's going to affect the poor and the rich. Why? Because after this, they're definitely going to move to cut Medicare, Social Security, and all these other aspects. Oh, well, why is that important? Well, this is why it's fucking. And so it's like being able to break that down in a very simplistic or as simple.
I think there's more outlets kind of doing that now.
No, definitely. Like, they've been doing it. Yeah,
like with like for like, you know, minute long like animations, like, oh, tax plan, this, or like, this happened, yeah. And like, like, you know, there's animations, and I don't know, people can't see me using my hands a lot, but
animation, using his hands, guys.
Animation for interviews that kind of like very say, this is what this plan is, this, this policy is, this is how it affects you, and like, mm-hmm. this is what you can do about it, like, boom, 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 yep. which is nice and kind of cool seeing that out in the world, but yeah. Kind of with the social media conversation, it's like, okay, I see that a lot, which is great, but it's like, the folks that really need to know about it and like live in these districts to call their whoever, like, right. are they seeing it? Mm-hmm. So kind of the question as far as like who you follow and everything, who they follow, and kind of you're in that right. little bubble. And with that, kind of go back to something earlier, is like resisting. What does that mean? Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. like calling your senator, calling this person. Yeah, yeah. A lot of kind of what I've noticed in conversations and kind of just like being in activist spheres the past couple of years is like,
or around activism.
Yeah, it's like a lot of folks are like I get like electoral politics and, you know, partisan politics isn't perfect by any means, but it's like, these policies are very real and they affect people in really real ways. Mm-hmm. Where others are like, fuck all of that. Like, it's all bullshit. You need to do this. And some are kind of very in the middle as far as like, they're both important. So I kind of use both of them.
Yeah.
So with that, it's like, you need to call your senator who's going to vote against this because like, he needs to get reelected. If he, she needs to get reelected next cycle, and like, they probably won't go against their base to get said policy stopped or enacted.
Yeah.
But like, if enough folks do and they threat to like hold them accountable and like not vote for them next cycle, then like maybe something can happen. But in tandem with that, we also need folks in the streets. We also need folks educating folks in entertaining ways, and also like, you're interested enough by social media posts, cool, go here for the hard facts. So yeah. It's like, I think in order to get anything like accomplished, it always has come from the grassroots. That's the only time anything's ever happened across the board if you look at history. But I think it very much has to be with everything else.
Yeah.
Hopefully in a way that moves away from the systems in general, and we can get to a systems change and actual revolution. That's, you know,
it's going to start right here, guys.
It's going to start right here. Right here. Example of that for Chicago, it's like, you know, the Bayanita campaign was, what, 2 years ago at this point? A year and a half ago?
Yeah.
To get Nita Alvarez, the state's attorney, out of office because of proliferating, you know, classes and racist policies. And so with that, it's like, I talked to a lot of people who worked on that from an electoral level, from like kind of like quote unquote radical or like cultural organizing level.
Yeah.
And so some folks were like not endorsing anybody, but saying like, get Nita out.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks were saying, hey, endorse this person because she's doing this, that, and the other. We will hold her accountable.
Yeah.
Which I think is good. It's like, if the system's going to be here for a minute, which it is, yeah. like, find those people who are at least going to go help towards it. What we want to yeah. see, but be like, hey, we're going to get you elected. When you get in that seat, motherfucker, like, we're going to hold you accountable.
Do your job.
And if not,
yeah.
we will get you out because we got you in. I think that's important as well. But also, yeah. need to be folks who are saying, like, you know, we may vote or may not vote for this person, but we need to talk about the system in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talk to a lot of like police and prison abolitionists who are like, I don't think the state's attorney position should exist in general, but like, until it gets eradicated, we need to get someone in there who's not going to be like as racist. You know what I mean? So it's interesting and it's weird. And I guess it's weird. It's messy. It's nuanced. But it's good. It's just how do we like just unpack it and then do like, you know.
I think that's a really good point because I feel like a lot of activists that I know anyway or like follow on social media, they have a hard line and they're like, oh, it involves police? No, don't care about it. Yeah. You know, I'm against this like militarized state.
Yeah.
So like completely against it. But I think that that's a really good point and it's something that I think about all the time is like the bridge. Like yeah. what's the bridge that yeah. we can find to like meet a middle ground? And that's true. You're like, yeah. I'm completely against this system.
Yeah.
But if it's going to exist and it's going to exist for a certain amount of time, yeah. let me just try to make it better.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that that's really important. I feel like a lot of the time we fail to see that even though it might fucking suck, that like we have this crazy military force, police state mm-hmm. in so many parts of our country. And police officers aren't being held accountable, and there's all these crazy boards like that have to form now. But it's like, you know what, it exists, and the best thing we can do right now is to get someone in office that can like, you know, tighten yeah. up just a little bit.
And linking like that this whole conversation and like especially policing and entertainment, mm-hmm. I saw Detroit when it came out, Catherine Bigelow, I believe, mm-hmm. her film.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, the police, you know, terrorizing and into killing a couple of black folks in mm-hmm. some Detroit hotel during the riots in mm-hmm. I don't know what year. It's kind of birthed out of, in my view, you know, someone of privilege who's a good director. I've seen other films with a good director kind of being like, oh, like, police are killing black folks. What?
Yeah.
Oh, I hear about the story that happened in the 60s. I'm going to make a film about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that narrative of like, you know, there's bad apple cops out there and they're doing bad things. And, you know, this film is about that.
Yeah.
And so there's a point in the film that it's generally written pretty well. Not that I'm like a great writer myself, But these police are doing these terrible things. These black folks, one of the guys escapes. Spoiler alert. And he runs into some policeman. He's like, oh my God, like, who would do that to you? Oh my, come here. Blah, blah. And like, that's just an anecdote for the whole narrative of the story. Is very much like there are bad apple cops and there's good cops. And like, that's not like what we're getting at. Like, it's a systematic thing.
Yeah.
And as far as the policies and how it's structured. And as far as the, you know, overtime pay and just a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's a systemic thing. We can, you know, get into that in a different podcast. But
yeah,
the narrative of this movie wasn't saying that. It was very much there are bad apples and there are not. And kind of like, looking at black bodies in a really like problematic way, which I will admit, like it's a hard thing to have these like top down framework big conversations, and just kind of showing that without really saying much,
without breaking anything down, because then people get confused and like they'll make their own opinions and like that's where,
which is good, and that's like what art is, but it's like how do you steer that as much that you're in that realm?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, if you're gonna breach a political topic or a topic that's as heavy as race or as policing, you should be responsible.
Right.
You know, you can't just be like, oh, this is my art and this is what
and
I'm
sensationalize
gonna...
it so that it fits into like a little nice story, you know, which I really hate.
And like if you're Academy Award winning director, it's like I hold you to like a pretty high bar.
I think
I can do it all the time, but you should be able to do it if you're ready. You know, so it's like that's bring that all this stuff to entertainment. It's like, how does, you know, how do you grapple with those
and
things?
I think the, like, mainstream art, we'll call it, like movies and stuff, like, I mean, what did we have 2 years ago? The Oscars are so white. Like,
Oscars
wasn't
so
that
white,
the
yeah.
hashtag? It's like, yeah, like, you know, people of color have been around for how many years?
Yeah.
And like, are you gonna fucking tell me that none of them are worthy of a nomination? It's like, you don't let us tell our own story. So of course you have someone who's completely removed from the situation telling the story, and it's coming off wrong every single time, you know?
And I think part of that, like, I think one of us said in the first podcast was like, we're talking about entertainment and like being black and brown and what that means and different movies stuff that came out last year. It was like, I think the dominant narrative is like, oh, like, why are you like forcing like, all these marginalized people upon us, like, why are you forcing it into the mainstream? It's like, no, we and they exist.
Yeah.
Like, we've always been here.
Yeah.
This is part of our social world, but we don't see that. So, like, we're not forcing anything. We're just, like, the door is opened or cracked.
Yeah.
And we're trying to bust it.
Just, like, trying to push it open.
Bust it open.
Yeah.
No.
Just, like, bust it wide open.
No, and so our end-all, be-all goal is, like, being able to find this content, being able to mold into a way where it's accessible to people.
Yeah.
And like by people, it's like we're trying to make it as large as possible. And as like you talked about, the bridge, and that's what I feel. It's easy to like talk shit about Fox or Trump or anything going on in that side of the world. It's easy. It's not hard.
Right.
That's why you got fucking satirical comedy.
Yeah.
That's why they've had such a boom that they've had. Because like it's not even hard. Like, you literally just gotta, like, the type of shit that we are being exposed to is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to, like, be a left Democrat, quote unquote. Another air quote there. But it's like, okay, realizing that this is the thing, realizing that this has been happening, and then realizing that people have been working to and or for against this, how do I add myself to that?
Mm-hmm.
How do I, as like blah 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 from blah blah blah, like I have 90 friends on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you know, like my county is 900 people, like what the fuck can I do? And that's really where I feel that we're falling into. It's like it's so many different, not so many different, but there's certain ideologies that are trying to kind of be the dominant, right? It's like,
mm-hmm.
Trump is being able to spew this ideology that like it's fake news. And the other day I saw on Facebook, it's like that he claimed that the whole Access Hollywood video was false.
Did he really?
And then then Bush
Billy
the dude
Bush.
Who was on it was like, no, that shit was all fucking real. Like,
and I got fired.
That's why he came out for that. But like, to understand and realize that like there could be a certain group of people who like, this motherfucker's spewing shit. Just like we can spew shit, but like they're eating his shit up. It's like they're just like, oh my, like, you know what? No, that Billy Bush, that wasn't real. Fucking just like we landed on the moon wasn't real. Like, you feel what I'm saying? It's like you just that's the human that's the human element
we
want to
believe.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Always.
And there's also like people add a level of importance. Like, some people are like, oh, that just shit doesn't fucking matter to me. Like, who cares? Who cares about that? As long as he's doing this, I don't give a fuck. You know? Yeah. And it's like, that's a whole nother layer of people that doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter if you're like, hey, I could actually be deported next week because of this. They're like, cool, but like, I got a lower tax.
Or no, or even worse. They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's like, don't be sorry. Vote against this policy. Yeah. Don't be sorry, but do this.
I wish I knew what I could, you know, your kid, we're going to take care of your kid. Some dumbass shit. I can hear some.
Is that a real, is that coming from a real place?
I feel like that's.
And I'm sure it has.
No, churches. I'm just asking you. Well, if you've seen any of like the deportations, like the churches are like, oh, we're going to like hold them here so that the police can't come in and get them. Mm-hmm. But if something happens, we have families who are willing to take in the children because the children are American citizens.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Is like, they think they're doing like, I'm going to say Lord's work, but Lord's work. But they think that, but they think they're doing like, that's their activism. That's their resistance. You know, like, that's their way of, you know.
Yep.
And it's like, how do you, but it's like, they're doing it in like a, in a loving, compassionate.
100% they believe it.
So it's like,
they believe it.
Well, how do you tie that to like,
the bigger problem? And you
can't. I think you can, but I think that's like, how do you do that? And I don't know the answer to that question.
That's what we're figuring out.
That's why we're here.
You do it before the need is there. Like, you get involved before the church needs to be open and help the kids. Like, you get involved before. Like, I had a bunch of people text me when the travel ban went through, and they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, the first one, you know, like,
third one.
Hey, you know, we're so sorry, right? Like, thinking about you, thinking about your family. And I was like, all right, well, did you vote against Trump? Did you not vote? Who did you vote for? What did you do? What have you done since? Like, don't tell me you're fucking sorry. Like, tell me what you've done. Like, a lot of people I know who just were like, oh, well, I'm not voting. And then they would send me a text to apologize for my family getting banned from the country. Like, I don't want to hear that, you know? Like, you have to be involved from the beginning, or you don't get to just come in now and say, like, thinking of you, prayers, thoughts and prayers. Like, it's just, it's so easy, I think, to just slap a hashtag or slap a, like, you know, like, just a, hey, we're here, working. Yeah, exactly. And that is, you know, that really drives me crazy. So, like, help before the need is there. Help before you've already done the damage. And we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. So.
But then you're also looking at, like, well, that sounds great. Like, we have these people, we have these kids, if we're looking at it, like, from time, because time's a thing. Mm-hmm. We have these kids who are being affected by that. And so, like, how do we then go in and be able to, one, influence and or, like, be able to change the course of their life simply because they're in a community where, you know, they're completely disenfranchised. You know, they're like, motherfucker has to go to a high school 3 miles away from him now because the one down the block I closed because some dumb shit, and then he has to go around
and another
thing. There's a bunch of shit, and we've been going on for a minute
since I like discovered Instagram stories. I'll be on that a lot.
It's like Snapchat. They took that from Snapchat. I have Snapchat,
so I'll post like, you know, quote unquote political stuff every once in a while, or I'll just hashtag something too. I think one time I was doing like some kind of like box jump something in a video I post on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I was quoting the Drake song, like, something, like, Jumpman.
Yeah.
Then I think it was when Muslim Man number 2 or 3 got shut down.
Yeah.
And I was like, Trump man, Muslim man ain't on nothing, or something like that. I don't know. But I was doing box jumps. I had nothing to do with the travel ban or everything.
Box
I don't know.
Jumps is a fitness thing.
Box, you jump on a box. Is not even that.
They're called person jumps.
There you go.
Hey, get him.
That is all to say, I think recently, like, I posted up on stories, it's been either like broad, like macro, like white supremacy is bad stuff, or it's been like, Rom did this is fucked up. No, but it's like, I think like there's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of large anti-Trump administration rhetoric across the board, which is like, you know, okay, good and bad for all the reasons I mentioned before. But it's like, hey, we have a mayor who's a Democrat, who's a quote unquote liberal Democrat, who's doing like fucked up shit. $95 million going to a cop academy in West Garfield Park, which is like had several incidents of police killings.
They
found
a fucking kid in the fucking pond they have over there
last
summer.
Yeah,
like, come on.
And it's like almost $100 million being allocated to this thing to quote unquote like train police to be better. But like, you closed with these schools in 2013, you're closing more recently, you closed with health clinics, and like those are the top tier. Kind of easier talking point examples, and there's much other things. So it's like, you have a Democratic mayor who's, you know, is doing this.
Same
you know,
shit.
Yeah. And it's like in my bubble, it's like, it's easy, like, you know, fuck Ron, but it's like, I know it's not, fuck Ron and fuck Trump are not synonymous, right?
No, yeah.
So it's like, that's a little harder thing. That's very local. It's like, oh, I do, like, I voted for Hillary, but Trump won, woo. I'm like, oh, like, well, who's your alderman? Who's
your
alderman? And even that, you know, the problem's there too. But it's like, this is the same, you know. These things aren't just at the federal level. They're statewide, around
there. Oh, for sure. You know, and I feel like that's where it starts. It starts with that shit. Because, so, we were talking before the podcast, and we were saying that our family started with a business on 30th and Costner, which is very close to where you grew up. And then they migrated to Inglewood, and that's where they've been since. And they're down the street from high school. And my dad's always like, it's so fucked up because there's like drive-bys. Like there was a drive, I think it was 2 summers ago where they had the shooting in the park or whatever. My dad's like, that's right next door to us, you know? And it's like, you want these kids to fucking go to school and they're literally shooting at them. Like, and that's a block away. Yeah. It's insane. It's like, what are you doing? What the fuck are these aldermen doing? Like, I mean, I'm looking around. There ain't shit there. Where the fuck's the money? It's definitely not in that neighborhood, you know? So... It starts there, though. It starts at the local level, and it's like, if you're not going to start it there, then what does it matter how much money is coming into the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
You know?
Who cares? Yeah, and then we get into the binary thing again. Yeah. And one thing I'm very glad I've lived in Chicago about 8 years or so now. And I've always kind of, like, was crazy about these things. I've kind of been, like, what, an activist in some sense, whether it's making teachers when I was, like, a junior high or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, being in Chicago, particularly in this moment, is special. That's part of... Kind of part of the whole Shidey and Nate pitch is like, gangster rap and like activism is like everywhere, at least in America, and it's a lot of places, but like in Chicago, it's different, it's unique, and it looks different, it feels different.
Yeah.
So with like the ROM thing and like with Alderman and stuff, it's like, when I said earlier, like electoral politics, like they are making a policy which affect our lives, which is important, but it's like there's bigger things at play, obviously. But it's like what ROM's doing now, same thing that the dailies have done with these machine politics over the past, you know, several decades. Mm-hmm. And so with that, it's like your alderman may be like a black woman of color, which is like great, but it's like, oh, but she's voting with the mayor 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And he's doing XYZ, which is problematic. So it's like, you know, I'm all about getting people of color and marginalized folks and like pushes the power, but it's like, you still got all those motherfuckers accountable.
Yeah.
And they still can do fucking things because like they need to be elected the next cycle. And if they need to, and if they have Ron has their back, they're going to be good. So it's like, how do you deconstruct this whole thing, which is just, you know, part of the problem. I don't know.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think that was a pretty productive conversation.
I keep going with round two.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is like, the problem with us is, like, being able to, like, shut it down. So,
I'm going to have to just tell you guys to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. But it's really looking at that. It's, like, understanding and, like, coming to context with, like, why is this important? Where is this coming from? And, like, looking, using history as a method to be, like, this shit's been doing, this has been going, blah, blah, blah. What has worked, what hasn't, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's learning. Yeah, learning from the past.
Learning from our mistakes. But that's what we try to do. This was dope. I'm glad. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for coming.
To join you. Yeah, no, it's
I'm sorry
dope.
I gave you the wrong address.
It's all good. It's okay. The margaritas were lit, so it's perfect.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in next time, and obviously tune in to, I'm going to let you guys plug it.
Bourbon and Browntown on iTunes and Google Play. Simply just type in Bourbon and Browntown. That works as well. Soapbox PO on everything. Hashtag ShyDNA. ShyDNA.com.
And as always, you can find me at browngirltalks.com. Thanks, guys.